Okay. My name is Frank O'Reilly. This is my first time being at anything like this. My first time reading poetry. And I said I'd go first because I'd probably be ashamed when you're all saying things. Now, I'd start with my profile, which includes things that lets you know where I am in life at the moment. And I want you to listen, and listen carefully to the words of listening that I'm going to say. I'm Frank O'Reilly, 82 years of age. I'm a retired father of 6, grandfather of 15, great-grandfather of 5, a husband of 1. Because my grandson did my profile for poems that was sent me away to Senior Times, and they did publish 2 of them last September. But as he was putting this husband of 1. Married 58 years. I enjoy spending the time gardening, writing, travelling around these islands in my motorhome and meditating while living in the home in Cork City. I had to retire from steady career at the age of 50 due to hemochromatosis. Just come out of 3 years of major depression, and I'm now looking for closure. He now aims to spread my numerous writings, poetry and novels to the broader public. Early this year, I have been diagnosed by a new care team with early stage of dementia. Now, I wrote to the EHSE and wrote, but this is something I sent up to Oak House. I can't get closure on my side. Each week that passes is another suicide. I have tried and tried my best, written to all the rest. No one replies, said the time just flies. And now my mind is broken because they have not spoken. To end my despair, getting nowhere. Who will listen to me, hear my plea, and pleading as I am, don't want to be as I am. Want a quiet, restful mind for what years I can find. Much more there will be at 82, now you will see. I have exhausted all ways to get free from this fear that I will die with unless you listen and care. No one should be treated like me with depression. Gone through 2 years without the right attention. And now gone to dementia that you failed to diagnose. I am now 3 years behind in what no one knows. I've written to the president, the Taoiseach, everybody in the HSE. I've been onto the Gardaí. I have the ombudsman on my side, but I can't get the HSE to listen. Now, I got a cure for depression down in Buda Buda Land, which is 5 miles west of Castle Dunbar, out in the mountains, Tibetan Buddhist Retreat Centre. I got my cure down in the west, and it is there I did my writing best. When I was there, got talking to a man in Castletown Bear, all about my writing, my compulsive writing. He told me Athlies was the place where Seamus Heaney of fame went for his holidays there. So did I get some of his writing gene, because no one that I know was ever so keen. Arranged for a meeting in August that year. But there was another place for Seamus, he went elsewhere. So I think of him often when writing like this, my words out on paper, and are they like his? I have no control what words appeared on the pages before me, nothing prepared. Just a heading on a blank page, my bio goes on and on at a page filling pace. Since this is new to me after my Buddha release from my horror depression down in Adelaide, would have to know more about him and his writing. Where and when did he do it, and did he ever sleep? because that is my problem, morning, noon and night. Words have to be written because they feel right. Too good to be lost out in space, must record them on paper for the human race. So I write this at this early hour, which is my time for real writing, a quiet hour or two. Watching the dawn and the rising sun, the birds, morning singing, the day to welcome, a new day to fly around and gather food for their young. Very busy all day, flying this way and that, to rear their new life that they have in their nest, to entertain us in summer as we sit and relax. So, to Seamus I say, may you have a good rest. I will go to Buddaland down in the west, and I will remember you there and keep writing my best. Frank O'Reilly.
Simon, are you back?
Yeah, just about. Okay, this is a poem I wrote when I was 12 years old, which I rebranded to describe a prisoner a la Count of Monte Cristo or the Three Musketeers stuck in medieval prison. It's called The Forgotten Prisoner. Rotting in the dank dominion of his life sits a mass of uncomprehending loneliness, heedless of life's comforts, absent in his world. The slimy bricks strip years of damp seclusion. This home for human waste is worse than death. Rats race the shriveled specimen for food, meager morsels slipped under an iron door. Unrecognized footsteps fade into the darkness. A wooden bench supports this heap of bones, by forgotten day and lifeless night oblivion. Time, unaccountable in this dark monotony, is home to relieved of thoughts by death. Thank you.
Charles Clare. I've read this before some time ago. I was only just thinking, it's called The Wolf. I was only just thinking that I think I've only once seen a wolf, and that is on the Capitol at Rome, where they used to keep one in the cage until they realized what they were doing. And you went up the steps and there it was outside. This is more out of I think Dr. Zhivago or someone. The wolf. Before the invention of nylon stockings, the wolf was more interested in survival. You could see him in the forests of Transylvania, but a fast sleigh or a droshky was advisable. The wolf runs faster when he is hungry, but he did not despair since droshkies can be unreliable. When he foregathered with kindred spirits, it is better to keep moving. The wolf's howl is also unnerving to the inexperienced. The invention of the combustion engine was bad news for the wolf, or so it seems. Yet the new technology, the fast car, introduced the wolf to sex and money and the modern movement.
Mary O'Connell.
The this is the 1st of December, and this is called A Country Christmas 1920. The days before Christmas glowed through the gloaming, like the delf on the dresser, the logs in the grate. Ice round the pump caught the fire of the stars. Shocked hands felt the burning of frost on the gate. On Christmas Eve morning, the house stirred to life. Teresa chopped suet while Nan washed the plates. The goose was brought down from a hook in the rafters. The bills had been paid with a check from the States. At one, they sat down to salt fish and white sauce with big flowery spuds that came out piping hot. They scrubbed down the deal and stacked some fresh turf. The pillow-slipped pudding grew plump in the pot. The kitchen was scented with spices and ham. Pots hissed on the hob as Nell threaded some leaves of red berry holly and fashioned a bough to hang in the window just under the eaves. 6 half-pound candles, a gift from the grocer, each wedged in a mangle, were lit after tea. Since Nan was the youngest, she said the Hail Marys. They knelt in the shadows, not needing a tree. Down in the valley, like jewels in the darkness, in windows were seen tiny pinpricks of light to welcome the traveller, the poor, and the lonely, and blaze out the gladness of this special night.
Thanks, Mary. Matthew, sweetie.
Kafka lived in Prague, and he did one reading in Munich. And when he got up to read, he saw that in the audience was the great poet Rainer Maria Rilke. Kafka in Munich. He took a morning train from Prague. It was bright. He had a coffee and a croissant, each bite of which he chewed 100 times. He asked a taxi driver to bring him to the Literaturhaus. He was 2 hours early. He drank glass after glass of water, looking at the photographs on the wall, writers who'd come to read there before him. One of them was in the room with him, Herr Rilke. He nodded to the poet, who nodded back. The room began to fill. He shuffled the pages of his story. It was too long, not captivating enough. And he knew he was an inadequate presenter. The review in tomorrow's paper would have it right. But here was the center's director introducing him. The poet sat stroking his moustache as Herr Kafka started much too fast. Kafka wrote lots of criticisms of his own writing, and he always said that he was really bad and he always read far too fast. And the fellow who did his biography, his old friend, he said, "Rubbish, Kafka read brilliantly." Subjective, also. Columbus, before he went to discover the New World, he called in at the island of La Gomera, which is the furthest west of the Canary Islands. And he stayed 3 weeks, and he got entangled with a beautiful woman. Columbus on Gomera. This is in three parts. One. It's spoken by Columbus, okay? I set out by boat this morning alone to the westernmost side of the island, whose charms were outlined to me last night in the taberna by the lovely Beatrice. Who would know? As we dined on garlicky shrimps with the utterly peculiar sea cucumber and sipped smoky yellow wine. Anyway, my lady told me to get to the Valley Gran Rey and walk among the undergrowth. So I did, and attracted by a strident noise, I interrupted two giant lizards mating. I wondered if my sweet lady intended this. Two. I have stayed too long here because of her. My ships are repaired from the abundant forest that crowns this unique island where mists blot out the trees. I have hired men to replace my sailors who absconded to the company of the local red-haired women, and I couldn't blame them. Am I not almost as bad? This morning I went to the church and bowed to the statue of the Virgin, then knelt at the altar to ask God's blessing for the great voyage across a terrifying ocean, if I can ever wrench myself free of this lady. Three. I have heard that the shepherds here talk to each other in a whistle language that can cross great distances. They call it El Silbo. Maybe I could learn that and whistle to my love from the new world that I know I will find. Part of me, though, wants to stay forever in this perfect port of San Sebastian, in my comfortable lodgings in the Casa de Colón, with its wooden shutters that keep out what I don't want and let in what I do, and its discreet courtyard bright with greenery where I can spend time with whoever I want.
Back from Prague, having just discovered vegan marshmallows and having just watched Susan Boyle El Subo on the television, I've become convinced that you work for Google. Maria McMahon.
Thank you. I'm glad to Frank tonight and James the Pat album from last week. The long grass. Blades that might as well have been 10 feet tall. I trundled through the fields, trying my best to match your stride. Our Wellington boots slushing and sloshing through the green jungle, beneath our feet, a constant, except for the odd and sporadically placed cow patch. You approached the electric fence wires as though they were small steps, with a swift up and over movement. Me, I scurried under, dipping low to the ground. Sometimes you stepped on these wires and lowered them to the ground, earthing them with your rubber boots. Me, astonished by your braveness in harnessing this metal tightrope. By your side, I could walk the land for what seemed like hours, with each field a new challenge and a new adventure.
Thank you. Thanks, Maria. Patricia Walsh.
Thank you very much. Now, this is something I wrote last week. It's still a work in progress, but...
Stepping off your smile and linking to my pleasure, where you live once, it is said, and collapse your sense of duty. For being though it is to sleep silent, I never breathe the word you said again to more interesting parties. glowing the baby in camera, shutters catch birth truth in a single blink. I'm guilty of less stationary for flash bulbs and cogwheels, read me like a Bible toward piece by piece. I am the greatest echoes in the empty hall, such megaphones cover up the space. Once harbored by me, lowering the speed of sound, may God help me because you will. In the meantime, winter comes, she will. Stake your claim on the unfortunate. I'm glad to pardon that bloody head that strangles fortune's sons of duty. What next, you ask? Spinning in a jar, will there really be a morning that I can hold? Turn on the volume, speak up, shrill. Every man loves the thing he wants to kill. Thank you.
Aaron Lewis.
I have to start correcting people. My name's Aaron, but anyway. I've been a living corp for 9 years. I got to say something. My name's Aaron. But anyway, I was listening to the gentleman before, I forget his name. This gentleman who is 82, is that correct?
Yeah.
And you,
Frank.
Frank. And you inspired me to tell a little story about my grandmother. My grandmother's from Sligo and she's 90 and she's in the far extremes of dementia. And it was inspiring, reminded me of a story. My granny's from Sligo, but I was raised with her in Newcastle, so that's why I live in Ireland. So I'm very grateful to my grandmother for bringing me to Ireland as a child. Very briefly, I don't want to go on too long. In 2011, my grandma was kind of living at home with my granddad and also going to a care home two or three days a week. And it was the longest time I hadn't saw her in my life. So from growing up with her from a child, I hadn't seen her for nearly a year and a half. And I went to my house where I grew up as a child, and in the garden was this beautiful, small woman just sitting watching the flowers and the birds, and she was almost illuminated. She was just beautiful, bright presence. I walked into the garden and she didn't recognize me, but she felt very comfortable in my presence, and I sat down next to her and I started to talk to her, and she said, I don't live here, I live somewhere else. So she was already, and every time she said something that was a little bit strange, I didn't give it any attention, I just listened and gave her space. And after about 5 minutes, I said, have you seen Aaron? Because I knew she didn't recognize me. She went, oh no, we don't see Aaron anymore. And I, instead of getting, you know, bothered by that, I just said, oh, you know, I just give it no attention. And then another couple of minutes, I said, I'm Aaron. And she went, Aaron, I didn't recognize you. And she saw me and kind of went into remembering me, and it was so beautiful, so poetic. And my granddad, she said, your dad, she's going, your dad's going for a walk with the dogs, he'll be back in 5 minutes. My granddad came home, very emotional to see me, and we had tea and chats, and they were very emotional. And my granddad, he said, you know what you are to me. And I said, and I felt he was going to say something really special, and I said, you think I'm special? And he went, no, you're more than special. So that was the most beautiful time that my grandparents are still alive, but they're now in a home. So I said to myself, well, I never saw them again, and they passed away. That would be my strongest memory. So. And I'm going to finish with a poem that I wrote in 2009. Love. The deepest expression of our soul's song. The heart aligns herself with the deeper truth. We move ever deeper into the moment. As we give thanks for the lives we live, the universe cradles us in silken fabrics. We walk barefoot into dark forests, the flow of dreams ever guiding us home. I lie here on a bed of rose petals ever giving thanks for love's power. It will bring tears to men of strength as we attune ourselves to love's cosmic vibration. Our souls become one. Thank you.
Sorry, Aaron, you made me paranoid now, so I'm only going to say the first name because I can't even deduce the handwriting of the second name. So, Kieran. Mark.
Oh, my grandmother, 88, also suffering with depression, with dementia. Annunciation speaks. You without wants. You without wants.
Thanks, Kieran. So that brings our mic to a close. And I just want to give great thanks to Martin Vega again, our guest poet. Once again, if you are happy with your 5-word poem, send it on to submissions@obeil.ie. It might end up in the yearly publication. Remember, tomorrow at 8 p.m, you have a choice between two events: Wasps versus Dylan Thomas at the Cork Arts Theatre, and Lightning Book Storytelling Night at the High B Bar, which is also a mobile phone free zone, which is a lovely thing that. Love that. So I'm going to give you my 5-word poem to leave you tonight. The marshmallow minds of our representatives are an enigma. Their mealy-mouthed platitudes of innocence tumble out while not 50 meters from their front gate a corpse lies cold in sight of their manicured lawn and their life mown down. And don't forget the 2 book launches as well. So thank you. See you next week.